The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Hallelujah. Say Merry Christmas to your neighbor, to the left, to the right. Hallelujah. So we thank God for the God we do His service on Sunday. We give God all the praise and glory. And we thank God for today, for Christmas Day. And we thank God for everyone that is able to make it out to church today to celebrate Christmas. On behalf of all the pastors that you have given gifts to this season, I want to say thank you. Thank you for blessing our pastors, and of course, those that remember their family also, God bless you. So today, we are looking at the door that was already opened. The door that was already opened. So let's humble our hearts as we receive with meekness the engrafted word of God that is able to save us and give us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. So let's put our hands together for the Lord as we welcome Pastor Pule already to bring the word of God to us. Let's keep clapping. Let's keep clapping.
Praise the Lord. I'm wearing agbada. You know, when we were growing up, we used to always say that our best clothes is for Christmas. So what happened to that culture? So I've had this clothes for over 1 year now. I've not worn it. I said, no, today I must wear it. So I'm here to celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. We, as Pastor said, okay, before I go into the word. Okay, today should be Merry Christmas, my neighbor. Hallelujah. You know, there was this couple that, you know, the husband came back from work, met the wife at home, and said, hi, honey, how are you doing? How was your day? And the wife said, you know what? I woke up late this morning, and I had a dream. And in that dream, I saw myself wearing this very, very beautiful jewelry. And when I woke up, I was wondering, what is this all about? So I decided to take a stroll to the shopping mall around the corner. And I went just window shopping. And lo and behold, in one of the shops there, I saw the exact jewelry that I saw in my dream. It's amazing. Yes, the husband said, wow, it's amazing. So the woman asked the husband, he said, what do you think it means? The husband says, well, I don't know. So they just moved on. And on Christmas Day, the husband said he was going to surprise the wife. And he came and gave the wife a gift. And the wife was very excited. I said, wow, Christmas Day, my husband has brought me a gift. It must be that jewelry that I talked about. And she opened the gift. And inside was a book. And the title of the book was How to Interpret Dreams. And of course, you know that day there was no Christmas chicken. Glory be to God. So today we're going to be talking about the door that was already opened. The door that was already opened. You know, today we're gathered to celebrate Christmas Day. Christmas happens only once in a year. And, you know, I was just thinking myself and saying December 25 annually. Is that actually the date that Jesus was born? So I just did a quick Google search and realized that, no, December 25 wasn't the day that Jesus was born. Actually, nobody has been able to pin down the exact day that Jesus was born. But they knew that on one particular day, there was a great man was born into this world. And it was unanimously decided way back that we are just going to choose a date called December 25 to begin to celebrate the amazing life that Jesus came to give us in this world. It was a day, Christmas Day, that we now recognize is a day that we could say that heaven touched earth. The day that light broke into darkness. The day that God fulfilled his promise to humanity. For us in God's Favorite House, you know, at the beginning of this year, 2025, it was declared that it was our year of open doors. And we have been praying about the open doors. We've been praying that these doors that God has said open, all the things that we need, is it blessings, is it children, is it marriage, is it financial breakthrough, that all those things should begin to enter through those open doors. And people say, amen. Amen. We've been praying that all the things that we don't want that exist in our life, that the doors are open. And we are saying, allele, everybody say amen. Amen. The troubles in our lives, the problems in our lives, the sicknesses, the diseases, the illness, the poverty. We've been saying, oh yeah, carry your load. The doors are open. We've been praying. We've been believing God. And we've together as a church, we've walked through seasons of faith. We've walked through seasons of perseverance, seasons of endurance, seasons of fasting and praying, seasons of patience, seasons of trusting God, seasons that we appear like we don't even know why would such a thing happen. And to cap it all, last weekend, we even celebrated already opened. Amen? Already opened. And God is saying that open doors that I talked about, it is now already opened. It is already opened. I want us to understand clearly that Christmas that we're celebrating today is actually the foundation of every open door we will ever experience. Every open door. Because before doors began to open for us in our finances, God opens the door to the world. For the world. Before doors began to open for us in our ministries, in our businesses, in our careers, God already opened the door. We'll be reading from Luke chapter 2, verse 10 to 11. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 to 11. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 to 11. It says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We're going to be learning, I would say, like four lessons from this season of Christmas, this day that we are celebrating. We're going to be learning four lessons today. And the first lesson that we're going to be learning is that Christmas is God opening heaven's doors. Christmas is God opening heaven's doors. We can say before Jesus came, before Christmas came, humanity was separated from God. Sin had caused a division between man and God. Hope seemed very distant. Heaven appeared very, very silent. As a matter of fact, Bible theologians would say that the distance, the time gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament was as much as 400 years. And in that 400 years, it was as if God was not speaking to anybody at all. And if you look at it, you say to yourself, how did we get to that point where God just stopped talking? If you look at it, right from creation, God said, let us make man in our own image so that we can, you know, God will come down in the cool of the day to interact and spend time with humanity. That was the design. Adam and Eve did what they did, and you could say the rest is history. But if you want to take it step by step, you look at how from Adam came all his children, all the way to the children of Israel. And the children of Israel, God made a promise to them. He was going to take them out and build a new nation. And they brought them out of Egypt, started to build a new nation. But yet, they kept deviating and going back to gods of man, going back to idols. And that transited all the way into when God said, okay, he's going to make them an outcast. Then the prophets started coming, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, speaking and saying, this, thus said the Lord, come back to me. Thus said the Lord, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, you'll be cursed, this and that, and on. All the major prophets, in quotes, the major prophets in the Bible, they kept talking and preaching and teaching and saying, do this, come back to God. Humanity refused to listen. The minor prophets kicked in. Zephaniah, Hosea, and all the rest, they said their own up to Malachi. And from that point, silence. 400 years. Quiet. Nothing was written. Nothing was spoken. Nothing was heard about God. Until Jesus showed up. Until Jesus showed up. This was God saying, I'm opening heaven's doors. You could say, what was happening for that 400 years? I'm sure God was just wondering and saying, how am I going to fix these people? What do I need to do to save humanity? People were coming to this world and they were just going and wasting away. What am I going to do to correct this? And God looked down and said, I need to send my dearly beloved Jesus, my son, my only son, whom I love. Then Jesus turned up. And we could say that the silent years became vocal, became audible. Isaiah 9:2 says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, because that's what Jesus is. He was a great light. He's still a great light. And that light is part of what we celebrate every time that we talk about Christmas. When Jesus was born, God opened heaven's doors and stepped into human history. John 1 verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus came in the form of humans as flesh and dwelt among men. He left his throne in the heavens to come and dwell among us. So technically, heaven did not send a message again, but rather, heaven sent a person. And that person is the person of Jesus. Through the presence of Jesus, through what we call today Christmas, through Christmas, the doors of salvation became opened. The doors of salvation became opened. Luke 19 verse 10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. So if not for Christmas, we will not be able to experience salvation. Through Christmas, the doors of hope was opened again for us. Romans 15:13 says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you see anybody that is living without hope for tomorrow, that person, even though it appears like he's living right now, but he's technically a dead person. Jesus, the fact that Jesus is our God, and we know that Jesus is alive, and we know that one day that we are going to meet Jesus, that is what keeps a lot of us going today. That's what keeps a lot of us going today. Because of Christmas, we know today that the doors of peace was opened. Because of Christmas, we know that the doors of peace was opened. Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So because of Jesus, the doors of peace was opened to us because of Christmas. This Christmas that we're celebrating is what guarantees us the peace. And finally, the doors of reconciliation was opened because of Christmas. 2 Corinthians 5:17-19 says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." So the Christmas that we're celebrating today is actually the message of reconciliation. It's an opportunity for us to reconcile our ways with God. Today, I declare and I pray that every door that God has ordained for our lives that seemed shut, it will receive access in the name of Jesus. As heavens opened on Christmas Day, heaven will remain open over our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. So lesson number two is that Jesus is the door. He is not just a key. He is the door. John 10 verse 9. John 10 verse 9 says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Jesus is the door that we take to access God. Jesus did not say that "I know the door," as some other religions would say. Jesus did not say, "I will show you the door," as some other religions would say. Jesus said, "I am the door." This means that access to God is not a process, it is a person. Which is why you must accept that person, and that person is Jesus. Access to God is not a process. It's not about pray 5 times a day and you'll be good. Access to God is not like pastor would say, "Kama kama laba laba." No, it's not a process. Access to God is not about wearing royal garments or spiritual garments. Access to God is a person. That's why Jesus says, "I am the door." Breakthrough is not a formula. It is found only in Christ. It is found only in Christ. When Jesus says, "I am the door," he's saying that life is not hidden behind rituals. It is revealed in Jesus. Hebrews 10:19-20 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." When Jesus died, the Bible tells us that the curtains in the temple ripped from the top to the bottom. And it opened up the holiest of the holiest places so that all men may now be able to come in. Prior to Jesus' death, only the high priest was able to go into the presence of God once a year. But when Jesus died and the earth quaked, the temple shook, the curtains split from top to bottom, If you know anything about the way fabrics are made, I'm not sure if there is a tremor anywhere. Fabrics will just begin to tear on their own. They may fall down, they may lump up together, but for them to just begin to tear, it has to be some force that is deliberate about it. So the temple, the holy of the holy places that was shielded by a big, gigantic cloth, the Bible says that when Jesus died, when he said it is finished on the cross, the cloth, the fabric that was covering the Holy of Holies, it tore from top to bottom into two. It was symbolic because it was saying, by my death, I have now given you access because I am the door. This cloth is no longer the door to the Holy of Holies. I am the door. I declare that every access you need in this season, access to grace, access to favor, access to purpose in life, is released to you in the mighty name of Jesus. It is released to you because Christ is the door. He is your door. The third lesson about Christmas is that God's open doors do not always look grand. God's open doors do not always look grand. Luke chapter 2 verse 7 says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger. The greatest door that was ever opened came through a baby. It came through a manger. It came through a humble setting. You would expect when the whole Testament talks about a savior coming, talked about a ruler that will lead the children of Israel, you would expect that maybe God will raise someone like maybe Hercules or Alexander the Great, a mighty warrior. But what did God do instead? He sent a baby Jesus to come and save the world. You would expect that such a person will come in pomp and splendor, that is, even before he gets to where he's going, the news of his coming would have gone ahead of people. But what did Jesus do? And what did God do instead? He set him up in a manger. A manger is where animals are born and kept until they are strong enough to go out into the field. You also will know that that kind of place will probably be a smelly place because of poo, of baby animals. But that's where Jesus was born. A very humble setting. I don't even know what setting could even be more humbler. But that was the open door that God created for you and I. And I want you to learn from that God is not necessarily in the palaces. God is not always necessarily with the kings, with royalty or high places. God is ready to meet you where you are. God is ready to meet you as you are. God's open doors does not always come dressed in glory. Zechariah 4:10 says, for who has despised the days of small things, the days of small beginnings? Some divine doors, when you see them, they may look like a small door. They may look like a small beginning. They may look like a quiet opportunity. But you need to embrace them because that's how they come. That's how they are packaged, like a small opportunity, a quiet opportunity. This season, as you begin to look and discover those already open doors, pay attention to those quiet opportunities. Pay attention to those unexpected assignments. Pay attention to the things that you have been told that, look, prepare, prepare. The manger was small, but the king that came out of it was mighty. The manger was small, but it opened opportunity for eternity for all of us. I pray for all of us today that we will not despise the doors that God has opened for us. Because it looks humble, we will not despise it. Because it looks small, we will not despise it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we will recognize divine opportunities, even when they come quietly, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lesson number 4, when God opens a door, no power can shut it. When God opens a door, no power can shut it. Revelation 3:8 says, behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. The door that was opened during Christmas when Jesus was born, Herod thought he had the power. He gave a decree, every child below 2 years old, kill. Because he was like a blank check. I don't want to even take a chance and take a guess. Are you the one that were? Are you the baby that we're expecting? Are you the every baby kill? But God knew how to protect His own. Not only protection, but God is saying that there is no power that can stop what He wants to do. Everything that God wants to do in your life, all the forces rising against it, God will circumvent them in the mighty name of Jesus, and God will silence them in the name of Jesus. The sin of the world that has kept God silent for 400 years could not shut down the plan of God. It could not shut the door that God had opened. Every sin that you may have committed will not shut the door against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Death. Satan thought that by killing Jesus, he could shut the door to eternity for us. But we know the story. Today, we are saved. Amen? Today, we are saved. Hell could not shut the door. Time could not shut the door. 2,000 plus years after, we are still celebrating Christmas. And we will still celebrate so much more Christmas in the mighty name of Jesus. As we reflect on this year, as I round up, some of us have to look back and recognize how God has preserved us and recognize how God has shown us excessive mercy and recognize how God has given us strength to do and pass through difficult situations. We have to look back and recognize how God has restored us. And we choose and say that this Christmas, we are going to respond to God with gratitude. Because what He did wasn't easy. What He did to come and be the door for us, it wasn't easy. But like the song says, it wasn't easy, but it was worth it. It is because of Him and the price that He paid, the humility that He came to give, that we can be here today. So as we go around today celebrating Christmas, we must do this with gratitude in our hearts. As we are eating that chicken, as we are eating the jollof rice today, we must recognize that it's not just the party, it's not just the chicken, it's not just the jollof, but it is the Jesus that it is all about. It is Jesus that it is all about. We must take our faith. There is a reason why we are here in church today on Christmas morning. And not sleeping because we were at the club all through yesterday night. You know, the people that are making Lagos State dirty. I was telling someone yesterday that all this IJGB. Don't look at me somehow. I didn't know what that meant until this week. And I'm sure some of you still don't know, so I'm not alone. Oh, should I tell you? Should I tell you? IJGB means I just got back. So, there are the people doing dirty December all over. I was telling someone yesterday that we are going to stand Loma after you, since you are making the whole of Lagos dirty. Praise the Lord. Christmas is not about dirty December. Christmas is not about I have come to just have fun. Christmas is about showing gratitude for the one who has opened the door for us. It is about us going forward now and sharing our faith that the door is already opened. We need to go out and tell people and say, look, the door is already open for you. Come in. Come and accept Jesus. Come in. The Jesus that Christmas is all about is saying, come in. The door is already opened for you. And you can come in together and jointly worship the Lord our God because he is worthy to be praised. The season is all about him. Christmas is all about Jesus. The door is already opened. So I want us to just bow down our heads and bow down our hearts. You may be there and you are saying, you have seen, you have heard, and you actually know that this season truly is about Jesus. But you know that you don't have a relationship with this Jesus. But you want to fix that today. We want to encourage you. And we want to pray with you. All we ask of you is to just raise up your hand wherever you are. Just raise up your hand. We want to pray with you. You want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want to accept him into your life today because you know that this is the only way. Because yes, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want to accept him into your life today. Just raise up your hand wherever you are. Just raise it above your head. That's all you need to do. I will pray with you. We're not asking you to come down. We're not asking you to come out, rather. If you're online, the online pastors are there. Also, they're going to reach out to you. Just indicate there that you want to give your life to Christ. If you're putting your hand up, just put it above your head. Don't put it on your head so that we can see. And let the heavens also see that this person is choosing me today. Awesome. Put it up. Put it up. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. God bless you. God bless you. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. Father, we just want to say thank you. We thank you for your children that have accepted you today. Thank you for the gift of life that you have given to them. Ask in the mighty name of Jesus that from now onwards, Lord, their lives will be transformed. The decision they are making today, Lord, help them, oh God, to begin to walk with you. And when they are done, you will look down at them and say, well done, good and faithful servants. Honor and glory we give to you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.